Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Food can be very comforting. And then after you eat it for comfort, it can make you feel even worse than you did before. My guest is Cynthia Sass. She's 3-time New York Times bestselling author and the latest Sass Yourself Thim, Conquer Cravings, Drop Pounds, and Lose Inches. Welcome to the show, Cynthia. Let's speak about emotional eating. How do you identify if you are one of those people that eats when you're stressed or upset? Or we'd all love to be the person that doesn't eat when we're stressed, you know. But
I think the majority of us do, and I think it's just a matter of, does it get out of control? Do you feel like you need to turn to food to cope with your emotions, or is it something that you know you do occasionally? I mean, we all have been taught practically from birth to use food for comfort and bonding and reward and, you know, even celebration. But I have a lot of clients who get to the point where they really turn to food exclusively to deal with their emotions. And then it becomes a situation where they really need to address that and kind of untangle that emotional relationship with food.
Well, okay, because at that point, it could even be considered, even if they're obese or thin, it could be an eating disorder, you know, because you are using food as your, you know, satisfying satiety situation, when really maybe you need to be looking at the big picture, you need to be getting counseling or dealing with it. So how do you identify that you have this issue? You look at the food and you say, well, my boyfriend just broke up with me, I'm going to eat this ice cream. But that's even a little different than, because if it's a one-time thing, than if it's a constant thing.
Right. And I think that for a lot of my clients, they do realize that it's getting to the point where they become maybe introverted. They don't really want to talk to other people. They start to sort of secretly use food emotionally. And I've had clients even at work go into the bathroom and go into a stall and eat because they're having a really bad day at work, or they're upset with their boss or a coworker. So I think people intuitively, you know, just in their gut know when it's gotten to the point where it's a little bit out of control.
And what do you do about it?
Well, you know, when someone reaches out to me and I'm working with a client one-on-one, the very first thing that we do is to talk about the fact that food works in the moment. As you said in the intro, it does biochemically and emotionally make you feel better. So the first thing people need to do is just, you know, kind of recognize that that is true. And so you can't willpower it away. You can't beat yourself up about it. There are a lot of social and emotional and cultural reasons that we have gotten to the point where we use food emotionally. And it is really reinforced in our culture. If you think about, you know, when someone passes away, we bring food. When someone gets a promotion or something good happens, we bring them food. Every holiday revolves around food. So the first step is really recognizing why someone has gotten into this situation and not beating themselves up over it. Because I feel like what a lot of people do is they'll say things to themselves, you know, kind of self-talk in their head. You know, I can't believe I did that again. I don't have any willpower. You know, I'm disgusting. These terrible things that people say to themselves. And that creates more negative emotions. And those negative emotions fuel the emotional eating. So the first step is stopping that and just saying, okay, here's why you're in this situation, and we're going to systematically work the way out of it. The next step is understanding the triggers. Some people will eat emotionally out of one particular type of emotion. It could be fear or anxiety. Others maybe eat more out of sadness or loneliness. Others out of anger. So it's kind of understanding those patterns. Do you tend to turn to crunchy foods or chewy foods when you're angry? Do you tend to turn to creamy foods or comfort foods that you were given as a kid when you're sad or when you need, you know, to sort of feel like you're giving yourself a hug or giving yourself some comfort? Once you understand what those patterns are, then it becomes sort of recognizing that it's happening in the moment. And if you are at that crossroads where you're about to reach for something and you recognize that, you know what, I'm not physically hungry. My body isn't giving me any cues that it needs nourishment or fuel at this time. I know that I'm reaching for this food because I'm angry, and I'm angry at my, you know, mom for whatever reason. Then you have an opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to test out an alternative to eating that really addresses my emotions and doesn't have anything to do with food, and see how that feels. And I often ask clients to rate that alternative on a scale from 0 to 10. And let's say 10 is the maximum outcome where you feel a lot better, at least during it. And for a lot of people, food is a 10. Nothing feels as good in that moment as eating does. And the alternative that they might try may feel like a 6 compared to food, but it may feel good enough to where it alleviates that emotion, or if you think of a rubber band being stretched to the point where it's about to snap, it relieves some of that tension, and it allows them to get the emotional level down to a point where then they can sort of move on without eating. And this is a very trial and error process. What works for one person might not work for another person, and I've had clients who will try the alternative behavior and then end up eating anyway afterwards when they feel like that alternative behavior wasn't quite enough to get them through the emotional moment. But even when that happens, what starts to develop is more of an awareness around what it feels like to eat emotionally before, during, and after. And a lot of people will say that once they become more aware of it, it becomes more conscious, it doesn't quite feel the same. It doesn't give them that same level of escape that it used to. And then they start to feel like, you know what, I don't know if I really want to do this anymore because it doesn't really feel good. And it becomes something that transitions from sort of an automatic behavior to a lot more of a mindful behavior. And then some of those alternatives start to feel better in the moment than the eating does, or at least feel better afterwards. And it's like this very slow transition that happens. I kind of use the analogy of learning to speak a new language, or like learning to play a musical instrument. It requires a lot of practice, awareness, and one day you just become fluent, and it just sort of, it's like a switch that gets flipped. But it definitely is a process, and it's not something that happens overnight, and it really takes a lot of patience and a lot of getting rid of that negative self-talk to get through this transition.
And it is certainly a transition. And when you feel that you are, when you're not sure if you're eating emotionally or not eating emotionally, when it needs to be satisfied instantly, you just have to have it. Whereas, as Cynthia's saying, you know, when it's real physical hunger, you can think about what you'd like to eat. You can prepare your food. But when it's emotional eating, you're just going to grab for something, you know, fit like salty or sweet. And even if you're full, if you're eating to satisfy an emotion, you're going to keep eating and you're still not going to feel like you have been fixed, as it were. So when you
recognize,
you know, and when you recognize these behaviors and you try something like exercise, for example, you jump on the treadmill and say, I'm going to do this instead of eating because I'm so mad at this person. And then you've exercised for 30 minutes. Generally, you're not going to be hungry after that. So in the last minute or so, Cynthia, give us your best advice for those behaviors that you'd like to try that do take training and yet can work if you try trial and error over time.
Right. The behavior really should match the emotion. That's my number one tip. If you are angry, then doing something physical or aggressive, even cleaning, even organizing your closet may be very helpful. If you're sad and you need to connect, you may need to reach out to someone, talk on the phone, write it down in a journal, spend time with a pet, go outside and be in nature. So not every behavior that's an alternative will work because it really has to get to the root of the emotion that you're experiencing in that moment. So be aware of that when you try out these alternative coping mechanisms.
And know that they are sometimes trial and error. You have to try these things. They may not work for you the first time, but if you spot that you are emotionally eating and that you're still not feeling quite satisfied, something's still not clicking for you, it's still not right, then you've recognized this behavior and try these alternative things. Get out in nature, take a walk, spend time with a pet, get on the treadmill, do push-ups, you know, do some lunges and some sit-ups and things. Just get your anger or your sadness or your depression, whatever it is, out, and then maybe you won't turn to food as your comfort. Remember, you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @YourRadioMD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day and stay well.